Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Graham Mattison, one of the senior analysts here at Water Tower Research, and we're excited to welcome Wes Fulford, president of Base Carbon, ticker BCBN in Canada and ticker BCBNOF on the OTC. Please note their safe harbor statements can be found on their website at basecarbon.com. And all of our research on Base Carbon, which is open to everyone, is available on the Water Tower website. So we see Base Carbon as a very interesting company, but also that a very interesting stock that plays on the growing carbon reduction and the need for just about every company out there to reduce their carbon or at least offset it. In its short lifespan, the company's already invested in projects that have produced credits, some of which have already been sold to Citigroup at a very nice return. So it's a very compelling story. And with that, Wes, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Graham. Thanks for having me.
So as mentioned, carbon reduction is in the headlines just about every day, and every company's talking about their goals to be carbon neutral. Can you tell us a bit about where Base Carbon fits into the market and how do you guys help companies on the carbon front?
Sure. We put this business together, accepted the business back in July of 2021, I guess it was, so almost 3 years ago. Scaling a company focused on the environmental markets. What we do is we provide development capital, structured finance to, a group of global project developers, all, currently focused in the as the portfolio sits today on nature-based solutions. So planting trees in northern India, restoring mangroves or seagrass projects, also known as blue carbon projects, in Southeast Asian countries or the global south, could be technological based carbon solutions. So converting, wood chips and pellets to more sort of permanent form of carbon storage, long-term carbon storage, concrete additives, and being a biochar project. So really developing a portfolio of carbon credits or carbon offsets, which will be utilized by corporates to reduce their emissions if they're not able to do that through process improvements, technological adoption, insetting, et cetera, as they endeavor to meet their climate goals, climate pledges to abate or reduce global greenhouse gas emissions.
So basically, you guys develop the projects, and then those credits can be purchased by third-party entities, and they can claim them to offset their emissions.
Yeah, we're working with a portfolio or suite of what I would call brownfield project developers, groups that have been, tried and tested with other carbon development projects, that working with corporates or other global financiers. So, significant experience developing these types of projects in global jurisdictions, strong connections to implementation partners, experienced with working with the global registries to get projects and methodologies approved. But yes, we're working, providing development capital effectively to these developers to support the inception, implementation, and production of carbon offsets.
And so now you guys have just publicly disclosed three projects that you're working on. Can you walk us why, maybe give a brief overview of those projects and then tell us why you selected them, and then how do they work in terms of when you invest, when you get the credits, and what do you do with those credits?
Sure. So we've got a historically or to date, we've called it underwritten three carbon development projects. One in Vietnam, where we've deployed 1.21 million cook stoves or fuel efficient cooking appliances and water purifiers. The mix is 850,000 cook stoves and 364,000 water purifiers. And what this does is it re reduces the reliance on woody biomass used to purify water, heat households, or cook in sort of rural impoverished communities and households within Vietnam. It's an abatement methodology. So again, less wood, 50% reduction roughly in wood consumed to generate that same amount of BTUs you typically require to cook or purify water. And that project is in partnership with a group called SIPCO, very experienced developer in country, also in adjacent countries, Laos and Cambodia. And what's unique about this project is we've contracted out the first 7.4 million credits being produced to Citigroup under a fixed price offtake agreement. That's sort of contracted out the initial returns, locked in our capital recovery and an expedited payback on that capital. Obviously, we have sort of long-term blue sky optionality beyond those credits to the duration of the project. In addition to Vietnam, we've got another household device, fuel-efficient cook stove project in Rwanda, 250,000 stoves. We finished the deployment of that fleet of stoves in December of 2022, 15, 16 months ago. And that project just started crediting. Initial credits were produced sort of the early April, 717,000 credits. There's some unique attributes of that project, which we can get into later. So in the third project in the portfolio would be a forest replantation or afforestation, reforestation project in northern India, whereby we've committed to the planting of 6.5 million trees. We're about 5 million trees, just over 5 million trees in the ground as of the start of April, working with yet another very experienced in-country developer called V&V Advisory Group. This project is anticipated to start crediting sort of late Q1 2025, and it's a 20-year duration on this project. And this is a carbon removal credit, you know, through the process of photosynthesis. Obviously, trees need to sequester, feed on carbon dioxide within the atmosphere. And this is sort of a longer term storage technology. You know, best technology we've got right now to reduce carbon is the tree. So I'll use the word technology, but this is a carbon removal project, which we expect to have significant sort of demand tied to this crediting as we put the project into production.
Typically, how long is it in terms of, you know, from when you make your investment till you generate credit? And can you talk about the risk profile? Like when your investment at risk, and how that plays out timing wise?
Yeah, the short answer is it really depends on the type of project, the you know, what I'd refer to as, the markets refer to as, the methodology. In the case of a abatement project like our household device projects in Vietnam and Rwanda, this is, you know, reducing emissions through the, you know, a reduced reliance on woody biomass being burned. So the return and economic profile of these projects tends to be quite a bit quicker than a reforestation project like ours in India, just given that, you know, once you've got a fleet of stoves or devices procured and you being utilized in field, which is almost immediately post distribution, the methodology supports the sort of carbon abatement and generation of a credit virtually immediately. So you've got a quick crediting profile and an expedited return on our capital investment. In the case of Vietnam, effectively generate a full return of capital inside of 29 or 30 months from first dollar deployed. In the case of Rwanda, roughly the same sort of project payback. India is a very different sort of project duration methodology, whereby you've got to incubate trees in a nursery, then you've got to go out and deploy those in field, work with the local communities, which is a significant component of our project design, the community engagement. But you know, once planted, there's a period of time, which is typically longer duration, where the tree is growing, maturing, and beginning to sequester meaningful amounts of carbon. So you've got a longer duration project and typically somewhat lower returns and longer paybacks. In the case of our India project, we've stepped into a brownfield opportunity. There were 2.5 million trees in the ground prior to our involvement. We announced this deal in August of 2023. And we've supported not only the developer recovering their capital on the first 2.5 million trees, but also the additional planting of 4 million trees. So 6.5 million trees total. With that comes a crediting period roughly, or first credits being generated roughly about 18, 19, 20 months following our first dollar deployed, which is significantly better than a lot of the reforestation projects we've looked at in, you know, since the inception of the business, where you've got a 6 or 7 year maturation profile to first credit generation. So better payback period, stronger IRRs, and the opportunity to work with a brownfield project and an experienced developer.
How much, where's your capital at risk? If you look at the project, is your risk, is it in the upfront process, or I guess, and if you could compare how your risk, you know, would look at, say, take a natural resource investor, you know, their capital at risk, how do you guys compare?
Yeah, being a former investment banker with, you know, half a dozen careers actually banking the natural resources sector up here in Canada, mining sector, you know, you've got, you know, a pre-feasibility, or sorry, a scoping study, the original engineering report on a project that's got, you know, a certain CapEx figure. Maybe it's $300 million to go develop this mine, procure the infrastructure required to process ore, et cetera, and then the, you know, that's the pre-feasibility study comes out, and that CapEx is $200 million higher. And by the time you get to a bankable feasibility study, it's $500 million higher. There's always this cost creep, scope creep. There's low predictability in final CapEx numbers between scoping and bankable fees. In the case of our projects, you've got a high degree of knowable knowns in the form of our CapEx. We committed 20.8 million USD to Vietnam, which is exactly where we're going to land in terms of our gross capital commitment. Rwanda, we've committed $8.825 million USD. Same situation, high degree of knowability in that amount. And in India, 13.6 million committed to that project. About 8 of it will be sort of upfront capital to fund the incubation, planting, community engagement, some of the water infrastructure required to grow this, these 6.5 million trees in country. After which, the balance of that capital, largely in our view, is going to be looked at as sustaining capital, funded with the credit generation from the project over time. So our sort of max value at risk or exposure there is about 8 million in country, but you know, high degree of knowability on capital commitments to this project, no cost creep over time. And through deal structuring, we have a strong degree of comfort around payback periods and capital returns, just given the profile of this sector.
Yeah, great. Thank you. So you recently announced that your project in Rwanda had just received credits, and that these credits have received a corresponding adjustment label. Can you tell us a little bit about what that label means, and then both in terms of the credits, but also in terms of the potential pricing and demand from buyers?
Sure. So dating back to 2015, you've got, you know, the Paris Agreement, a sort of global collaboration amongst governments to work towards a max 1.5 degree temperature increase by 2050. With that, I think we're up to over 200 countries, 203 countries globally that have publicly pledged some form of climate agenda, emission reduction agenda, called the Nationally Determined Contribution, NDC. Government of Rwanda is no different. The U.S. is no different. The U.S.'s NDC pledges, I believe, 50 to 52% reduction in emissions by 2030 and net zero by 2050. China, net zero by 2060. From the demand side of the market, the buyers, you know, the perceived risk is that some of these voluntary carbon project developments and credits generated from them would be double claimed by a government down the road at some point towards their own nationally determined contributions, their own climate objectives. In the case of our Rwanda project in December, we announced that we have the first correspondingly adjusted credit or project in the largest global voluntary carbon market registry, VERA's system. With that, it's effectively a passport blessed by the government, an agreement with the government to allow us to export these credits out of their borders, sell them to corporates, other governments, or into other tax or compliance schemes globally. And there's no risk or a assurance from the government that these will not be claimed towards their own objectives down the road. That's a huge sort of due diligence checkmark the way we see it. We issued our first batch of credits from this project in early April with a Article 6 authorized label from VERA, which is basically speaks to that corresponding adjustment. And with that, you know, we believe that these credits will be eligible for certain tax markets. You know, there's an MOU in place between Rwanda and Singapore to sell credits into the Singapore tax markets at substantially higher prices than we're seeing for sort of global cooking stove projects, household device credits, in addition to programs like Corsia, where we're, you know, the global airline offsetting program, where we're mission offsetting program, where we're waiting for a little bit more policy and regulatory clarity around projects eligible for inclusion there. But I think corresponding adjustments will be a prerequisite for programs like Corsia. And we're very optimistic around future pricing upside as that clarity comes to market.
Great, thank you. So we're coming up towards the end of the time, but one final question for you. So right now, you know, Base Carbon has about a $40 million US dollar market cap and no debt. You've announced earlier this year you expect to receive $29.1 million from the sale of the Vietnam credits. Then you just got the first of the Rwanda credits. So considerably, let's call that $10 a credit. You know, it's another $8 or $9 million. But using this super rough math, you're getting pretty close to the market cap in cash. And, you know, you still have the projects that the producing projects that aren't in that back of the envelope math. Is there a risk below the surface, or what are investors missing or not giving you credit for in today's stock price?
Yeah, you're sort of, this is, you know, investment banking 101 is looking sort of that blowdown analysis. What's the downside versus the upside case here? We press released in February of 2024, a couple of months ago, sort of an outlook for the business and the portfolio for the next 12 months. As from where we sit today, next 12 months, we've got roughly 6 million credits anticipated to be generated from our Vietnam project, all to be delivered into the fixed price city offtake agreement. That's the 29.1 million USD of cash flow. In addition to, inclusive of the 717 credits we just press released at the beginning of April, roughly 2 million credits gross out of Rwanda. Pick your market price. If you use $10 as an illustrative base case, that's almost an additional 20 of cash flow. So productive capacity of those two assets, you know, 50 million bucks, back out our corporate G&A and the 2024 capital commitments to the India project, we can basically underpin our entire market cap relative to the cash flows anticipated from those two projects in the next 12 months. And then in addition to that, bringing our India reforestation project online late sort of Q1 2025 and the credits and cash flows anticipated from that portfolio. So, you know, we're fundamentally, we believe that the share price is undervalued. And I think every CEO on the planet would say that. But we, you know, we demonstrated that through our activity under our NCIB. Canada, we've got a mechanism called a normal course issuer bid, which allows us to purchase up to 10% of the free float of the company per annum. Been quite active with that. Bought back about 9 million shares since we put that program in place in June of 2022. And we'll continue to be active with that program as we see opportunities to reduce our share count, tighten up our share count with our cash flow, but also begin redeploying that capital into the pipeline of projects we've been curating, working hard to curate since inception, have some near-term opportunities ready to go that will continue to diversify our portfolio by methodology, the types of carbon projects we're underwriting, by jurisdiction and duration. So we've got a sort of blended portfolio of carbon production with multiple assets anticipated to be producing credits as we continue to scale this business.
Great. Well, Wes, thank you so much for your time today, and thank you to our listeners. Please note the views expressed in this fireside chat may not necessarily reflect the views of Water Tower Research LLC and are provided for informational purposes only. The chat may not be distributed or reproduced without the written consent of Water Tower Research, and should not be considered research nor a recommendation. WTR is an investor relations firm, not a licensed broker, broker-dealer, market maker, investment bank, underwriter, or investment advisor. Additional disclaimers can be found at watertowerresearch.com. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Greg.